the all-new Sports Cage. Text 306-936-6262. 620 CKRM.
Welcome back to the brand new Sports Cage. We are live at Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium as we get ready for the CFL draft. Starting to get a little bit of a mixer here, boys. People are rolling in.
We got jerseys. We got cheer team.
Gainer.
Food set. Where's Gainer?
Lurking
right behind
in the back.
Gainer's lurking. He's the writer for the Riders. He's a wealth of knowledge, a statistician. I rattled off the year Suter got drafted. Yeah. And then Rob Vanstone just filled in the rest of the blanks.
He's like Wikipedia.
I know he is. He joins the Sports Cage this afternoon. Rob, is there a favorite draft of yours that comes to mind for all-time Rider lore where it was just like a home run round after round after round?
I really like the 2006 draft Shivers had. They got Andy Fantuz in third overall that year, and he turned into a tremendous player. And Paul McCallum had signed with BC as a free agent after the 2015 season. So the Riders desperately needed a kicker, and they got Luke Akanji in that draft. And that Luke Akanji ended up kicking field goals in the 2007 Grey Cup. So that was pretty crucial, because Andy Fantuz is, I think, a Hall of Fame credentials type receiver.
Yeah.
And then Luke Akanji filled a huge void that was left by a kicker who eventually was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So that 06 draft class of Roy Shivers was pretty important.
Changes over the years. It's been obviously crazy, and you know, your memory goes back. How much has the CFL draft changes? What changes do you really like? Maybe what changes do you still like to see them make when it comes to the CFL draft?
Well, I had a chat with Glenn Suter last week about when he was drafted in the second round in 1984. And I was reminded of the nature of which the draft has changed. He found out he was drafted by listening on the radio in Vancouver. And then he got a call later in the day, but everybody would, you know, you're almost a prisoner of the conventional media to find out what was happening. I remember back in 1988, Jim Hiller of the Melville Millionaires got drafted by the Los Angeles Kings. He was playing in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League at the time. And I phoned him to get his reaction on being picked by the Los Angeles Kings, who he is now coaching, and he found out he was drafted by me. From me. That's no great feat of mine, but that's the way technology was. So technology has changed everything. I mean, nobody really... There was some semblance of a combine way back when, but generally on a farm. Now you're looking at all this testing and everything.
Yeah. A combine in Saskatchewan meant something completely different a bunch of years ago, to be like, really? John Deere, New Holland, or Massey Ferguson?
You know,
what are we talking?
Gleaner, Fent.
And the cone drill, that's how many we stole on a Friday night after having a few drinks driving around with your buddies?
Or how many ate at Milky Way?
Yeah.
And once upon a time, it was so rare for a player to go to the National Football League.
Yeah.
And now you're looking at all these draftees, UDFAs, rookie minicamps, and you have to factor that in. Whereas once upon a time, if you picked a player in the CFL draft, generally you were going to get him. The exception was 1986. The Riders picked Reuben Mays, second overall. The good news is he was Offensive Rookie of the Year, and the bad news was it was for the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
1,353 yards later.
I said to Sheldon DePastic, you're the pride of North Battleford, Saskatchewan. He goes, no, that's Reuben Mays. That's not me. He goes, I'm just from North Battleford, Saskatchewan.
Sheldon had a terrific career.
I know, and he's a beauty. And if you've never heard Sheldon's story...
Oh, it's so unlikely.
He was selling hot dogs outside the bar where the Riders were at night after training camp, and eventually got himself a meeting with the GM. It was Cal Murphy, right?
Yep.
And then he told him, I don't think you're good enough. And then something happened, then there's a phone call, and then the rest is history or whatever. But you just think, wow.
It was Alan Ford back then.
Al Ford.
Yeah.
Don Hodgins. Dad of Regina Pat Canadians head coach Ryan Hodgins. Don's Mr. North Battleford.
He coached
hockey, coached football, all these guys, right? So talk about a guy that built a lot of things in North Battleford, sort of.
If I was a general manager, I would despise the draft the most in my job, because the results are always tangible, right? You can see who worked out and who didn't. But sometimes, and you were telling, there's so many stories, right? So this first round draft pick didn't work out, but all of a sudden it turns into Gary Lewis, right? There must be tons of tales like that.
There are so many obscure ones. And, you know, in 1984, the Riders, it's kind of funny how it worked. The Riders picked Robert Reed out of Simon Fraser as a running back. They picked him ninth overall to conclude the first round. With the first pick of the second round, the Riders picked Glenn Suter. So flip a coin, Glenn could have easily been a first rounder. And Robert Reed was okay, but in September of 85, the Riders traded him as part of a six-player deal with the Ottawa Rough Riders. And the principal player that came back was a defensive tackle named Gary Lewis, who played for the Riders from 85 to 94 and helped them win a Grey Cup and is now in the Plaza of Honor. And, you know, there was Junior Robinson, there was Michael Eel Arms, there was Derek Zeno, there was Jeff Roberts. But the big one was getting Gary Lewis as part of a package that included relinquishing Robert Reed.
So if you had to go back in time, and this is completely unfair. This is completely unfair. Who would the best Rough Rider draft pick of all time be?
I mean, Gene Mikowski was a third rounder, Hall of Famer.
I want you to say Jeff Fairholme in case he's listening.
I love Jeff Fairholme, second overall in 1988. He only caught, I think, four passes as a senior at Arizona. They went completely, almost exclusively to a run offense.
Oh.
And he caught four passes as a senior, and then his first year he caught in the CFL, he caught 11 touchdown passes.
Did we draft Zarka?
Yes, we did. We drafted him in 97.
What round did he go?
Oh, what was he? Was he a fourth or?
Yeah.
He wasn't a high pick.
It was a good pick.
And that was a really good pick.
So when you speak of Zarka, that's still one thing that I don't know if it makes anybody else emotional. When you see at the end of the Grey Cup when Neil Hughes kept getting the ball at the end of the game to help run down the clock or whatever, I just like that kind of stuff. You're like, oh man, you're just like. All of these guys over the years and these different stories. Okay.
And Neil didn't get drafted. He was bypassed in the entire 04 draft, signed as a free agent.
I know.
And look at the career. He had 11 years, Plaza of Honor, and the nice punctuation mark to the 2013 Grey Cup.
Well, wasn't that in large part because he broke his leg in his final year of eligibility at CIS up in Saskatoon against the Huskies in a game at Griffith Stadium, if I'm not mistaken.
I remember him having a broken leg with the Regina Rams junior team.
Okay.
But I remember watching him at Tom Collegiate, and it was just like, this guy's scary.
Yeah,
Watching him with both iterations of the Regina Rams, but, you know, there really wasn't at the time much of a premium attached to Canadian running backs.
No.
You know, and so
much of. You know, there was none.
Whenever he got a chance, he performed. First touchdown pass Darian Durant ever threw, it was to Neil Hughes in Hamilton. Riders threw a touchdown pass to Neil Hughes in the 2007 West Final in BC. Neil Hughes was a terrific player, and it was so easy to typecast a player, especially an undrafted Canadian, as exclusively a special teams player, and Neil was terrific at that. But I can't think of any times when he got the chance on offense where he didn't deliver.
No, you're right.
For a long time.
Is that the one that stands out? He was a Regina guy, and there's been some Saskatoon guys. We mentioned North Battleford as well. Is he the one, like, local guy that stands out when you go back and think about the high school days?
Oh, boy. I'm just trying to think of local ones that, I mean, you know, Mitch Picton was a fifth-round pick in 2017, and look at the career he's had.
What was the Ford kid that ran, was unbelievable for the Thunder?
Stu Ford. Yeah, I think he was pretty much a territorial exemption because he played for the Thunder.
Yep.
And he got his shot. It was the first game after Ron Lancaster passed away against BC in September of 2008, and he scored on a 55-yard screen pass and also had a touchdown run.
Yeah.
And, like, where'd this come from, right? You pay so much homage to amateur sports, and when you see the depth with which you can mine the local football ranks for players like that, whether it's Neil Hughes or Stu Ford, and you get a career as a partially as a ball carrier from not even being drafted, just great
stuff. Dan Farthing.
To me, the best hands I think I've ever seen. If that got near that guy, he caught it, no matter the beating he was going to take. And it's too bad that that era of team never had success, because when you see the Dan Farthing grill and you see some of those catches. So, Rob, here's a question for you. The Corey Mace era has started, and you've been around it since the start. What do you think some of those combine meetings or interviews, how many people are making their way onto the Rider, ticking the box list, and making their way off because of what Coach Mace is going to want and need from these guys if they get drafted coming into town? Because that has probably changed night and day 180 degrees.
Well, you know, Corey has talked quite openly about you have to buy into everything here. And, you know, he's talked so much about the caliber of players as people. And that's not to denigrate any of the people who were here before Corey Mace. You know, I'm one of them. I'll denigrate myself. But you know, that's, you know, I think the combine interviews and everything like that, there's such an emphasis on character and such an emphasis on being a, you know, responsible representative of the organization in every facet. And family is big and character is big. And just the, they want somebody who's got football in his veins. And I just, you know, you look at the overall level of enthusiasm, just you're around him at all.
Yeah.
And it is really contagious.
Because I bet you there are guys that on paper or on film, great. But that's not going to be a Saskatchewan Rough Rider guy, because he's not going to be all in. He's going to be this, he's going to be that, but he's not all in. Or maybe this guy over here, no, but he's all in. Yeah, and you could tell. I think that's probably the big difference, and this is why it's very interesting, because we talked, even Darian mentioned it yesterday, the Huffnagel tree and everybody came from, and how Ryan Dinwiddie in Toronto, even though they lost a bunch of people, because they know how to replace and they do that, and I said, I'm always intrigued by how Calgary drafts, because they'll pick people you've never heard of or crazy off the board, and so because of that tree, I'm very interested, and we know that necessarily Jeremy's name is the general manager, but with the influence of how this draft is going to look for the Riders, there could probably be some prizes here and some names maybe we're not even thinking of, or on the top 25 on Three Down Nation or wherever we're getting our stats. Do you have kind of that inkling as well that this could be defining, that we may just be doing things differently this year?
Well, it's interesting because I did a I was in on the mock drafts. And so it was interesting to hear Corey and Kyle Carson, the assistant GM, and what they thought. And I looked at our rankings for every position. And I had been doing my own just based on media reports and everything.
Sure.
And combine stats. And there were names on that list I'd never seen. Not only that, but players who were up high on the list. And
there's an
nth degree of insight that is provided by Jeremy O'Day and Kyle Carson. That, you know, Kent Maggeri is a big part of that as well. And just you realize how intricate this process and how exacting it is when you see a length, you know, you're looking at that list from the bottom up and it's just like who's that and I thought I did a pretty thorough job of looking at it.
Did you have to fire yourself as GM after you saw that to be like, I don't even know what I was thinking?
Actually, I made their day by telling them they could fire me. The draft party was a little early this year.
Rider Nation is so privileged to be able to have you as our eyes and ears, and you're giving us some unprecedented access, whether it was behind the free agent doors when that period opened up and now the draft. So you're getting this access that we all get to live vicariously through. Is there anything that's surprised you behind those doors that goes on? Again, you've got a lot of experience with this team.
Well, just the hours that people put in. Like, it's amazing just to see the degree to which people are invested in this. I mean, you knew coaches put in long hours, and you knew players put in long hours. I don't think I realized how much was done on their own outside the conventional hours. You know, it's not unusual. I'm a night owl, so I'm in here a lot during the evenings, and it's not unusual for me to be taking an elevator at 8 or 9 o'clock, coming in and or going for supper and seeing a coach or a player. You know, it just... And you really develop a sense really quickly of the responsibility that entails being a member of this organization. You carry it everywhere you go, and I didn't realize that it was to that extent until I got here.
We got a minute and 20 seconds left here. Quickly, want to get your take on what happened and how the Riders did in the global draft today.
You know, it was interesting because I talked to Jeremy O'Day this morning. They were looking at the punter as their first round pick. They were thinking of drafting him when the third overall pick came up. That's how high they were on him. And then, they picked the USC defensive lineman, and then they ended up getting.
He's still there.
You know, they ended up striking a Rich in the second round as well. And that's pretty huge. I mean, you look how that formula worked last year with Adam Korsak coming here. And, I mean, whether it's Adam Korsak or Habakkuk Baldonado, both players that Riders picked in the global draft last year ended up playing.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you generally you're hoping to get one for two. One of them was a West Division All-Star.
Maz thinks every CFL team should have at least two or three Australian punters on their roster.
Well, they're good at it. They're can you argue with the success from where they're coming from because of just how they grow up with soccer and rugby?
It's just it's in the DNA. And last year in the game in Calgary, Brett Lauther was sick. They had to fly in Ryan Mescal on the morning of the game, an Australian place kicker. He went 4-for-4.
I know. So I was at the game. I was one of the 10,000 people that was at the game.
Oh, you were the one booing me. I kept sucking.
No, I had Ryder Green. Oh, come on. I had Ryder Green on. It was a good day. It was a good day to be a Ryder fan.
That was such a cool night. It was. It's neat to see walking around Calgary and you hear when the Riders, I remember when the Riders jogged off the field after the pregame warm-up and they got an ovation. It felt like a home game.
I know.
And I hadn't seen a game in Calgary, a Rider Calgary game since 1991 in Calgary, so it had been a while.
Rob Vanstone from the Saskatchewan Roughrider, Riders historian, and it's like Wikipedia. I love it. Thanks so much for taking time. I know you had to rush back here from the vet and on this exciting day. It's starting to get full here.
Yeah, and there was good news from the vet too, so
awesome.
kind of happy about that. It's vet day.
Right on.
Thanks for your time and sorry for that bad joke.
No, thanks, Rob. It is the all-new Sports Cage live from Studio 620 at Mosaic Stadium. It's CFL Draft Day on the home of the Saskatchewan Roughriders, 620 CKRM.